Let's get our Bibles now and please turn with me to the book of Exodus for one brief verse, and then we'll turn forward to the book of 1 Kings for a little bit larger passage. As we consider again this evening the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Again, very short text here. Moses writes, after having been given revelation from God, the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And I'd like us to turn now to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to pick up our reading in the 16th verse. And read to the end of the chapter. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours." The first said, "No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one.'" And the king said, "Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king answered and said, "Give the living child to the first woman and by no means put him to death. She is his mother." And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we spend time considering the eighth commandment that you have called us, that we should not steal. We pray that you might enlarge our understanding tonight, that we might comprehend what we are to learn from this call upon our lives, how pervasive it is, how we are to apply it to our lives and store it up in our hearts and live it out. And so, Lord, we would ask you again that you might grant us the working of your Spirit to soften our hearts and to illuminate your word for us so that we might understand what you're trying to teach us herein. We ask that you will do this because we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we read of the account of Solomon and the infamous incident that made him famous for his wisdom. Two women had come to him with one baby, both claiming that the child was their own. This account bears on the eighth commandment in more ways than we might consider, and we're going to return to it shortly. But at this point, I'd like you to turn forward in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, to the first chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, to verses 8 through 10, where we read what is really a summary of the law by Paul as he writes to Timothy. And in this summary, he gives us a clue as to some further explication and application of the law and what it is forbidding in this commandment. We looked last Lord's Day evening at how we should interpret the law, how it does touch on more than just this kind of narrow understanding of stealing. And then we looked at a principle that should guide us in our application and thinking about this commandment. In other words, whose stuff is it anyway when it comes to thinking about material matters? But we need to examine another facet of the eighth commandment tonight. And we'll get to that in a moment, but I want you to see what Paul says here and how he summarizes the eighth commandment in 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 10. Paul writes, "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane." And then it's at this point that I think Paul begins to list the commandments contained in what we call the second table of the law. In other words, he begins right here with the fifth commandment and he starts summarizing them in order. The law is for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, in this summary of the law, and particularly Paul's summary of the eighth commandment here as enslavers, or it's sometimes translated kidnappers, I want to bring to your attention this evening something that flows out of this. And I might just ask you to think for a moment tonight, did you ever consider kidnapping or enslaving as a summary of the eighth commandment? Well, Paul's not the only one who understood the eighth commandment to be able to be summarized as actually primarily dealing with enslaving. I have here quoted the ancient rabbinic commentary on the Old Testament called the Talmud. It states in Sanhedrin 86a, and I think I have it there, yes, on your outlines, "Our teachers taught, you shall not steal." Scripture is speaking here about stealing people. In fact, as some of the translations have it more accurately, it's not simply a kidnapping that's being taught here, but also we could talk about man-stealing, just talk about enslavement of any kind is being forbidden in the Eighth Commandment. In other words, all of this is to say that the Eighth Commandment, commandment is largely about stealing people. That is, the eighth commandment is involved with more than just the stealing of goods and property. It is more seriously dealing with the stealing of lives in various manners, in various ways. And therefore, again, it's absolutely critical to an understanding of this commandment that we approach it from a God-centered worldview. Last Lord's Day, again, we asked that question, whose stuff is it anyway? Well, tonight we want to stop and reflect and ask, whose people are we anyway? Or we might even ask more broadly, whose people are they anyway? This special focus of the eighth commandment is nothing new, as the quote from the Talmud and Paul's use of it in 1 Timothy confirmed. But this is actually not a new teaching in the church either, but it's something that the church has held to for a long time, that man-stealing or enslaving is a major way of understanding the eighth commandment. It's just that we've lost contact with that understanding. It has kind of fallen out of our normal thinking when it comes to the eighth commandment. But our own larger catechism in question 142, among other things, lists and says that the sins forbidden in the eighth commandment are theft, robbery, man-stealing. You see, the issue with man-stealing in the Eighth Commandment is that when someone enslaves someone else, they are stealing from that person. They rob that person of the precious possession of their life and their freedom. We ask, whose people are they? Or whose people are we anyway? Precisely because if we will remember who we are, and the answer to that question, that should dissuade us from any kind of breach of the eighth commandment. It's significant to remember the very preface to the Ten Commandments as we consider the eighth commandment. Remember, the preface to the Ten Commandments is this: "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And therefore, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not enslave someone else. Thou shalt not steal someone's freedom. Because I'm the Lord thy God who brought you out of the house of slavery." God had delivered his people from the bondage of slavery, and he intended them to live in that freedom. And therefore, whose they were was very important for them to understand, as it bore particularly on how they were going to treat other people. Now, we might be tempted at this point to note that, well, we live in a sort of post-slavery world. That although we acknowledge, and even though we acknowledge it with some guilt of association as modern Americans, that this was at one time, once in our history, it was a problem. But we like to think that it's really not a problem anymore. Although we like to think that way, when we think that way, we actually commit the same error of narrowing the application of the commandment that the Jews did in Christ's day and many Christians do in our day today. Frankly, man-stealing and the stealing of lives is not a done deal in the world. We would have to be simply naive to think that somehow we live now in a post-slavery world. Besides the horrific and violent forms of this sin that we hear about in the news. In other words, we still hear about kidnappings. A whole new kind of crime seems to have come to the attention of folk in about the last 15, 20 years. Human trafficking is what we call it. And just the horrific subject that is. Hostage situations still go on. Besides those, you know, really graphic and big ways of human stealing and man stealing, there are more subtle ways that this sin is committed, and particularly the ways that it is committed that we don't tend to think about are ways that hit us much more closer to home as Christians. I'd like you to turn forward to one more passage and go to 2 Samuel 15. You should have been there in 1 Kings. Just turn back to 2 Samuel 15 for a moment, where we read about the conspiracy of Absalom. The account begins this way. Verse 1. After this, Absalom got himself a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And when he said, "Your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel," Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but there is no man designated by the king to hear you." Then Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were judge in the land. Then every man with a dispute or cause might come to me, and I would give him justice." And whenever a man came near to pay him homage, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. And here's the key. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. There is a form of stealing that has afflicted the people of God for ages, and that form of breaking the eighth commandment is called stealing another's heart, or less pleasantly, we call it manipulation. By a misuse of power and gifts that God has invested in them, or by the misuse of influence or authority, some people use their gifts to steal away the lives of others and to prey upon other people. Paul spoke of, in Galatians 2:4, false brothers secretly brought in who slip in to spy out your freedom that we have in Christ, so that they might bring us into slavery. Peter said, "False prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." Congregation, manipulation and stealing away the hearts of people is a form of violating the eighth commandment that is of particular danger to Christian people. There are always those who seek to prey on the church and to ravage the sheep. These people basically anoint themselves and they begin devouring whoever will listen to them. But the one who allows his heart or her heart to be stolen away also bears some of the responsibility. Many are hypnotized by the power and attractiveness of certain individuals, and they allow themselves to be taken in by them and virtually hand their lives over to them. It's usually not until much later, after many warnings from families and friends, loved ones, that a rooted awakening kind of happens and the true colors of the manipulator are shown. But by that time, very often, the person's soul is so damaged by that stealing, that restoration rarely occurs. They're just simply scarred for life. Many young people and many young believers, it's not just with young people and young believers, it's often with many of us. But many of you have a latent pride that has not yet been mortified. And you fall left and right into this kind of thing. You despise those who have been placed over you as authorities for your good. You crave something more than what you have been providentially given, and you fall prey to these thieves of souls, is what they are. And so Paul pleads in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set you free, and he pleads with the Galatian church, for freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And therefore, knowing whose you are is so vital to keeping the eighth commandment. By understanding your place in Christ as a free person, you're able to understand, I think, positive and negative aspects of keeping this commandment. I'd like to just list a few of those with you tonight. Positively, if you understand whose you are, you should live as free people, glorying in the liberty that we have in Christ. You should recognize that you have no right to enslave your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Because they too have been set free and are no longer slaves, you have no right to enslave them, and you should do everything you can to help them live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. The Judaizers were breakers of the eighth commandment, particularly because they were stealing the freedom that Christ won for his people and trying to heap upon them again burdens and rules of their own making. And Paul is saying, you stand free in that freedom. And the implication of that is you have no right to steal other people's freedom by imposing your rules on them that Christ never put on them. Positively, if you understand whose you are, we should do whatever we can to promote the freedom of our brothers and sisters, lawful freedom in Christ. And that's a key word, their lawful freedom in Christ. That should be a priority in our lives and our fellowship with each other, that we promote the lawful freedom in Christ that we have. That's a way that we keep the eighth commandment. Negatively, if you understand whose you are, you should not let yourself be taken in and have your heart stolen away by man-stealers and manipulators. And here comes that terminology. Then one of the positive ways that you keep the eighth commandment is you guard your heart. Guard it in relationships. Guard it when you read books. Guard it when you listen to sermons and teaching. Guard it when you read articles on the internet. Young people, don't get involved with someone who would not be an even yoking with you. Many people have let their hearts be stolen away and then walked into an unevenly yoked marriage. And those are always trouble and a grief to people, grief to Christians. And frankly, don't deal in lofty things and be very leery to flatterers, those who want to use you for their ends. You have one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not serve another. So two major helps in keeping the Eighth Commandment that we don't normally think about. But two major helps in keeping the Eighth Commandment, both positively and negatively, are knowing whose stuff it is and whose people we are. King Solomon, who had prayed for wisdom and who was now faced with this situation of these two women claiming to both be the mother of this one child, went on to say, well, this one says one thing, this one says the other. Bring me a sword and I will chop the child in half, and I'll give half of the child to each of the mothers. And the true mother was willing to give away her child so that the life of her child would be spared. Wisdom shows us that those who would rob and those who would steal and those who are willing to manipulate will also be willing to kill and to destroy. In fact, Jesus described false shepherds in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 in this manner. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That's a beautiful picture of freedom. But then he goes on and he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Those willing to steal and manipulate and rob do not care about anybody but themselves. They will flatter you and they will talk good about you. But they are liars, they are cheats, and given the option of losing something that they think that they are entitled to, they would rather destroy it and everybody else involved with it. If they can't have it, then nobody will. And so they'll take the whole house down with them. And so the call this evening, brothers and sisters, is in all sobriety, to be very careful as you walk in this world. Be careful. Satan, the great thief, has lulled the church into thinking that, first of all, we never break this commandment. And on the other hand, we're never taken by it either. We think that we'll either never do it or we'll never become victims of violations of the Eighth Commandment. And in both instances, we are dead wrong and we are naive. And so calls coming out of this commandment are, examine yourselves. Be on guard and don't be taken. Don't let your heart and your mind be stolen away. Positively seek the blessing of God upon the enjoyment of your goods. Hold your possessions and your blessings with an open hand. You brought nothing into this world. You'll take nothing out of it. You have nothing that was not given to you. You are a steward, and it's incumbent upon stewards to be found faithful. And as Paul says there in Galatians, stand firm in the freedom you have in Christ and don't let anyone enslave you. Another way to apply this, and another way to be safe in this regard, particularly in the area of falling to the theft of your heart, the whole issue of manipulation, is follow those who follow Christ. A particular mark of those who are following Christ are those who are willing to suffer loss for your sake. Those who actually have a right to something, but for the sake of others, they are willing to let it go. That was the case with Paul, because that was the case with our Lord Jesus. We read in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Let's pray together as we seek the Lord's help in applying these things. Our Father in heaven, we would pray tonight that you would enable us to have discernment. You would grant it to us so that we might be able to stand firm in that freedom that we have been called to in Christ and not come under a yoke of bondage again. And so we pray that you'll strengthen us to walk in obedience to the eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," by being good stewards of the freedom you've granted us in Christ. Father, we pray that you would enable us to love each other as well and to seek to promote the lawful freedom and joy of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we pray that you might keep us from those wretched sins of manipulating others and seeking to gain off of others and steal away honor to ourselves, to steal their freedoms away so that we might build ourselves up and serve ourselves. God, we pray that you will forgive us of these things and you will turn us from them and cleanse us from them. Father, we pray that there would be a pervasive obedience in our lives to this call, "Thou shalt not steal." From those mundane matters of taking something that's not ours, physically speaking, to these harder to understand matters of stealing away the hearts and souls of others. Help us to guard what we've been given, the glorious grant and gift that you have given us in Christ. Lord, we pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.